Any study that demonstrates that adding an antibiotic in the diseases you treat helps you. I know one thing it does. It increases the cost. It increases sites of administration in the animal. It increases the time you take to treat the animal. Okay, I'm still looking for a good thing in there. Not coming up with it. So if you want to break free and use one antibiotic at a time, feel free. And sometimes we think, oh, with these long-acting drugs, we've got to get something in them IV that works real quick. Those drugs are maxed out by 12 hours at the latest. A lot of them within 4 to 5 hours. Some of them within 2. If we're to the point where we've pulled that animal late enough, we think we need an IV drug to save it, you can tell me what the problem is there. And it's not that single injection antibiotics taking too long to get to concentration. Mitch talked about quality of life. One way to help your quality of life is to spend less time putting things in them as they come through the chute. Treatment programs should reflect best use principles. Regimens for therapeutic antimicrobial use should be optimized using current pharmacological information and principles. This requires planning. Especially means planning your post-treatment intervals again. If you're not familiar with that term, I'm sure many of you are, you should leave here saying, man, I've got to make sure I understand the best post-treatment interval and then what I do at the end of that post-treatment interval. And that requires a case definition for success-failure and then a plan for what you're going to do with the successes and what you do with the failures. There's dose selections within flexible labels. Some of the drugs have different choices for post-treatment intervals. I'd suggest working with your veterinarian and challenging your veterinarian on exactly what you want to know. I need to know this information. Here's a little bonus piece of information. When you get home, I want you to go out to the shelf where you keep your drugs. And I want you to pretend you're getting ready for a respiratory outbreak, which hopefully you're going to prevent. And I want you to shuffle the antibiotics to one side of the shelf. And then I want you to take everything else you put with an antibiotic for respiratory disease, and I want you to make a little break there, and I want you to shuffle the other to the other side of the shelf. Now, look at that pile of stuff you give with an antibiotic for respiratory disease. Okay? Make a sign that goes there and put waste of money on that part of the shelf and label it so we're all comfortable with what we're doing when we're picking something off that shelf. There are no data that I'm aware of that indicates a performance benefit or a treatment response benefit for anything we give other than an antibiotic for respiratory disease therapy. I'll repeat that. There are no data to support that anything we give other than an antibiotic makes a difference in response to respiratory disease therapy. Ask the people that recommend them to you, where is their data? Ask them for all the data they have run. Okay. So that's the one take home I'd like to see you have. One of a few, I said it all. Treat the fewest number of animals possible. Limit the antibiotic use to sick or at-risk animals. Think about the disease presentation that will cause you to put antibiotics in cattle. The thing I would love to see is some of the people that hammer on us about our use of drugs. I'd love them to run into you guys and you say, well, here's our case definition for when we use them. I don't know how you argue with that. I don't know how that does not meet the definition of judicious use. And decide when you're going to quit. One of the biggest lessons I learned in my days in the feedlot was that when we treat them for so long, we need to stop. And I'm convinced we can make chronics by treating them too long. There comes a time when we need to let them go. Treat them humanely. If euthanasia is required, do that. Give them good feed, good water, shelter, a clean environment, and support them and euthanize them if they're suffering. Again, duration of therapy, post-treatment intervals. I've beaten on this over and over. It's one of the most important things you can know is exactly when to go again. Keep your records. Simple records. This is an example of inadequate treatment records. It has not been proven that compounds in chalk improves treatment response. I know I'm hurting you here, but the contents in chalk are not therapeutic. This chalk mark meant Grandma treated it on Sunday with her favorite drug, and Cousin Floyd caught it again Tuesday but didn't treat it. That's that decoding of that one. And the next week it meant something different. Okay, so. Follow label directions. In my opinion, today, for bovine respiratory disease, there is no need or excuse for using an off-label antibiotic, especially gentamicin. I hope I'm preaching to the choir in this room. Absolutely no reason or justification for putting gentamicin into beef cattle for respiratory disease or neomycin. We've got residue issues with those drugs. We've got safety issues. With today's drugs, pick from the labeled ones. You're protected by a lot of research. You're protected by scientifically defined withdrawal time. There's a four-step set of thinking for extra label use in cattle. The first one is, if there's something labeled for that application and it works, use it. You're protected by the label. You have a withdrawal time that applies. There's a lot of science behind it. Number two, if the labeled drug does not work, then the requirement is that a veterinarian be involved and that the first step is extra label use of a food animal labeled drug. And an exaggerated withdrawal time has to be applied by the veterinarian. Number three, if there's no food animal drug that can be used in an extra label manner, then a non-food animal veterinary or a human label drug may be used in an extra label manner. This is a giant step. Make sure you and your veterinarian are very clear about the need for it, and you're very, very clear about the withdrawal time and exactly when it will be used. Requires a lot of planning. And the fourth one is a compounded drug. Only then, when none of the others is available, can you get to a compounded drug. We've gone through periods of having some compounded drugs available. I hope we're getting over that. Only in very specific cases should those be used or applied, and you need to sit down and have a real think tank with your veterinarian on what you're going to do with them. Be aware that a compounded drug is way different than a generic drug. A labeled generic drug has gone through FDA approval and is manufactured in FDA facilities. A compounded drug from a pharmacist or a veterinarian has not gone through that approval process, and you have no guarantee of safety or efficacy of that drug. Make sure of what you're buying. The very last thing I wanted to do is I wanted to pick a disease that you may or may not be familiar with as beef producers. What is wrong with this animal? Notice that left rear, how it's standing. It's weight-bearing a little bit. And this disease came into a feedlot, started in two pens, and by about 3 months, we had 300 cases out of 15,000 head, and it spread to every pen in the lot. Here's a close-up of between the claws of that foot. I'll give you four options of what it is. Number one is super foot rot with the new hyper-resistant, hyper-invasive, necrotizing Fusobacterium necrophorum. That just sounds like it ought to be it. Hairy heel wart, which is treponema, commonly seen in dairy cows. Conventional foot rot in a chronically wet environment. BVD lesions with secondary bacterial infection. Okay, now everyone needs to vote. Those who win, report to the back for a three-year-old open keg of Natty Light and a package of hardtack. Kind of on a budget here. How many of you think it's the super foot rot with the hyper-resistant, hyper-whatever? Okay, I'm not going to be able to sell you anything. Hairy heel wart. Okay, got a few. Conventional foot rot in a chronically wet environment. Okay, thanks for chiming in. BVD lesions with secondary bacterial infection. This is actually hairy heel wart. And why I wanted to bring this up to you today was this was an outbreak of hairy heel wart in all colored cattle in a beef feedlot. And as you, those of you in Iowa, Illinois, may see a few more of these. I'm familiar with some smaller yards up there. This one was down on the high plains. Those cattle have this characteristic stance of standing on their toes rather than completely non-weight-bearing like a typical foot rot. This is what the heel will look like, erosion clear across the heel. That's the coronary band looking from the back of the foot. Here's another shot. Very, very erosive. Starts up there in the heels. This is the classic strawberry foot rot, it's called, lesion that occurs early. And you see those long hairs sticking up? That's why it's called hairy heel wart, because you get some growth from those. You may see it like that. You may see it like the others. And there's what it does in between the toes. It'll go clear up front. So if you know, you routinely pull and treat your own foot rots, but the thing that brought the veterinarians in on this one was what we're using for foot rots isn't working anymore. So just something I thought you might enjoy seeing to keep an eye out for. And we've got, by my watch, like a minute or so or two for questions or rebuttals or throwing things. What did we treat the hairy heel wart? They're all off-label right now. There's a couple long-acting antibiotics that will work. What brings it up is that the tetracyclines typically will not work on them. So you end up looking at, there's a couple long-actings that can work. I could give you the names. I don't want to put them out because it really needs to be with your veterinarian. They're off-label, but there are a couple things that can work. The other thing some people have done for that is they've had to resort to foot baths. That's what they do in the dairies, and they've actually had to pull pins out and run them through it. It's something you need to see very early and get it shut down in that pin before it spreads. Frustrating.
This has been a production of Angus Productions Incorporated, the industry's information leader.